Elijah's vision, fire.
These are symbols, of course, as we know, and I've got the one that's fire. And they are our best interpretation, brethren. You know, you can't be dogmatic about these things away, but the fire is supposed to represent final phase. Now, even though Bob says that you can't run away from an earthquake when the ground is shaking, but you can run away from a fire. But I think the fire that the Lord showed to Elijah is really the final phase. It's very destructive. Fire is very destructive. It gets out of hand, like it did down there in New Mexico. it just destroys everything in its path. And I guess that's the thought here. And fire is, as best as the brethren can interpret, is to represent anarchy. And anarchy is lawlessness. It's a definition that involves a lack of government. No supreme authority anymore. No order. It's all disorder. Confusion. It's the final phase of this present evil order of things. And you have to think that what we're looking at is Elijah's, was explained, represents the church in the flesh. Those that the Lord is calling as a people for His name. They are being given a glimpse of these events that are occurring that bring an end to the old order of things. And the final thing that's going to occur is anarchy, which will be the complete elimination of government. Because anarchists believe that the government is an evil and should not be. And we've had anarchists now, by that name, people who believe this and have tried to implement it now for many, many years. He's always pictured as a little man running around with a bomb in his hand, ready to create disorder everywhere. And we're... It doesn't mean that Elijah fire, or was the Lord in that fire, but it indicates that this is a way that things are going to come to an end, and we're given a glimpse, a foregleam of what's going to happen. Have we had that kind of a glimpse? I think we have. If we look back now just to 1994, when... there was this terrible situation in the African country of Rwanda where 800,000 people were killed. What happened there? Well, there were two tribes, the Tutsis and the Hutus, that lived in Rwanda. And the Tutsis were the minority group, but they were the smarter of the people, and they were the rulers. So they were ruling the nation. They were ruling the majority. And so suddenly the leaders disappeared when a plane exploded mysteriously that was carrying the leaders of the government. And then the killing started of the Tutsis, the ones that were in power. Till 800,000 of them were killed. That country was a good example right then and there of anarchy, terrible anarchy that occurred. And before you know it, that nation is in shambles. Well, this is the Hutus now that have turned on the Tutsis. And then finally the Tutsis got control again, and they started doing the same thing to the Hutus. And so, what's the latest on that? Well, there's an article here that I have. It says, Rwandan sorrow. It continues. It continues to be an example of what can happen and how bad it is to be in a situation like that. We have quite a few other examples, but let's just take a look at the scriptures and what they're telling us. The scriptures are telling us that the time runs fast when you have this kind of a symposium. The The scenario is that of Israel being regathered, and then of the animosity against Israel and trying to conquer that nation, cause it trouble, and then the anarchy that follows after that. For example, we heard several things. We heard Ezekiel 38 being described. And let me just give you a glimpse of what finally happens in Ezekiel 38. Let me read just a couple of verses from that chapter to show you how anarchy is involved in there, because what it means is it's every man's hand against his brother. And Dominic mentioned that Gideon, you know, from the seventh chapter of Judges, where Gideon had his 300 break the earthen vessels, and the lights shone forth, and they blew the trumpet, and the Midianites, who were the enemy down below, representing all of the nations of the world, killed each other in confusion. And so in Ezekiel 38 and the 21st verse, it says, "And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God." All of his kingdoms, in other words. "Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his hands and upon the many bad people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone." Destruction. There's the fire and the brimstone all woven together to show you that this is anarchy. This is the final phase. This is the thing that destroys all the nations. And as I mentioned, you have these elements here of Israel being regathered, Israel being opposed, and we have that same thing coming up again in the 25th chapter of Jeremiah, where there's well, we can't get into too much detail on it, but the picture there, even though it is that of Israel being punished with the 70 years captivity in Babylon, and then how the Lord then opposes those nations, including Babylon, he says, "I'll punish these nations completely, make them pay for what they've done to my people." This is the grander picture that shows how, at the end, when they try to do something to Israel, that the Lord is indeed going to will punish them. And I'd just like to read a few verses from the 20th Jeremiah, where it says that the Lord is going to pour a cup of his wrath for all the nations to drink. And starting with the 27th verse of that chapter, it says, "Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye, and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord had a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord." Well, you can read more in this chapter, but there's the scenario, again, of the people being in anarchy and killing each other off, destroying the governments of the earth. And then again, we have that same thing in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah. This is the one that tells about Jacob's trouble. And so when it tells about Jacob's trouble, it also, the Lord mentions how he's going to punish Israel. They have to have their punishment. But he says in the 11th verse of that chapter, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord of hosts, to save thee. Though I make all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not have thee altogether unpunished." So he says, I'll make a full end of all the nations that have been involved in your misery, in your persecution. And then just dropping down after the 30th chapter to the 16th verse, it says, "Therefore all they that devour thee," he's talking now about those that devour the nation of Israel, "shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey." Now these are just some little insights into how thorough the Lord is going to destroy all the nations of the world.